This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Your number is 877-217-5757, and you can reach us by email, talk@talklouisiana.org. We're going to talk about the governor's election, but a reminder that we quite likely will be preempted at this time in the next few days with the impeachment hearings. But if you're so inclined, you can listen online at jiminkster.com, and the show will air at 8 p.m. if we are preempted in any of the days to come. So jiminkster.com and 8 p.m. if we are preempted tomorrow, as we probably will be, and we may even be preempted Tuesday and Thursday. So we will see. Obviously, the impeachment hearings are quite important, and people are interested in what's going on. But in Louisiana, the focus was on the governor's election, and Saturday night it came to a culmination with John Bel Edwards winning a second term in office, 51.3% to 48.7% for Eddie Lee Rasponi, 774,469 for John Bel Edwards and 734,128 for Eddie Rasponi. We're sifting through the numbers, and we'll talk about numbers, and we'll talk about trends, and just talk about why Governor Edwards was able to absorb what is a red tide in the South and be in office for another 4 years as the only Democrat holding a state house in the Deep South. Again, 877-217-5757. In East Baton Rouge Parish, where we are situated, John Bel Edwards won by a resounding 51,000 votes. He won by 102,000 in Orleans Parish, by 18,000 in Jefferson Parish, and by 13,000 in Caddo Parish. The rest of the state largely was Rasponi country, largely. And it was an effective effort by Eddie Rasponi, who received 230,000 more votes in defeat than David Vitter did in defeat 4 years ago. In fact, Eddie Rasponi received 88,000 more votes in defeat than John Bel Edwards did in victory 4 years ago. Let's start with the venerable pollster Bernie Pinsonat, who's joined by Ashley Shelton of the Power Coalition. She's the executive director of this organization, which may very well be most responsible for John Bel Edwards' victory. But Bernie, what do you make of the results Saturday night?
Well, I wasn't that surprised because Eddie Rasponi, I thought he, when he started his campaign, he made several mistakes. He was using an out-of-state group, and all of us who were campaign people were sort of surprised by the approach they were taking. They waited till well after Labor Day to come up with to open up with a barrage of ads, and the ads were not impressive. In fact, one of them we thought hurt him. When I did my survey,
now which one hurt him?
The one that, I think he started out with the religion and the Trump instead of I'm Eddie Rasponi, get to know me. And by the way, I'm a Trump supporter instead of Trump, Trump, Trump. And
well, that was in the primary, though, wasn't it?
Well, but he underperformed in whites in places that Republicans normally do not, and the reason was, but he didn't do as well as he should have with white voters that in the previous elections that when Republicans wins they do much better.
He did much better among whites than did David Vitter, though, and a lot of whites just stayed at home four years ago. Governor John Bel Edwards owes his political election, as do many Democrats in the South, to African-American voters.
Sure.
When you crunch the numbers, about 437,000 or so African-Americans voted for him Saturday, and about 337,000 white voters. So a majority of his support came from the African-American community.
Well, the point I was going to make is that when the after $10 million and he only had 27% of the vote,
You're talking about Rasponi?
I would have fired the staff and hired me a new group. And one of the things that happened with Edwards, he gave up on this, I'm going to win this by trying to be a somewhat Trump-like. And he went back and talked to his Democratic base and told whites that state employees and everybody else that this guy's election may be harmful to you. And it was very, he ran a 70s and 80s style campaign where he went hard as a Democrat, convincing whites that it wasn't in their best interest right. to vote for a Republican. And Eddie never adjusted. And kudos to Edwards' campaign. They did an incredible job. All of the get-out-to-vote effort was very effective. And they held enough whites to win. And they didn't do it with Richard Lipsey and John O'Leary on television trying to get whites for them. They went and got whites the good old-fashioned way and told them, if you elect these guys, you're going to lose your job, or you're going to lose, they're going to cut your pay.
Well, he ran a campaign, and Rasponi only ran a partial campaign.
Yes.
He largely eschewed public events and interviews like this, and he did it all for the most part on television. But he did get 734,000 votes, and it's that old axiom that President Kennedy said, that victory has 1,000 fathers and defeat is an orphan. Rasponi did not run a disastrous campaign, or he would not have received 230,000 more votes than David Bruce Vitter did 4 years ago. But John Bel Edwards, I think he would be the first to mention that African-American voters bailed him out Saturday, and when you look on stage, he said, this looks like Louisiana. There were a lot of minority people on stage with him Saturday. And Ashley Shelton, your group, I'm told, knocked on more than 280,000 doors in an effort to get out the minority vote. This was souls to the polls. Ashley is the executive director of the Power Coalition. Didn't get a lot of fanfare during the primary. But how effective was the get out the vote movement in the minority community?
No, I mean, we did a lot of work. We kind of changed our approach as well during the, from the primary to the runoff, and really just kind of went old school in terms of just ensuring that, you know, that African-American, Latino, and Vietnamese voters in the state of Louisiana had a voice and that they exercised that voice. I mean, we didn't, you know, like, I don't care who you voted for, but I needed you to vote. And I needed to ensure that, you know, we're living in the state that people want to live in, and they have elected the leadership that they want. And so we did a ton of work. We toured the state more than 3 times, pulled together an agenda, and, you know, really tried to understand, like, where were people. And, you know, the thing I love about Louisiana is that we're more, you know, like, we're more alike than we are different, and we agree on more than we disagree on. But, you know, we knocked over 298,000 doors. And the numbers we keep updating the numbers. We don't even have the final numbers because Saturday we did a ton of phone banking, text messaging, and door knocking. So 375,000 text messages and, you know, over 350,000 phone calls across the state of Louisiana.
Well, there's an old axiom in politics that the more things change, the more they stay the same. And I mentioned after the primary that this was analogous to 2002. Mary Landrieu in that election got 46% in the primary, and Susie Terrell received 27, almost identical to what Edwards and Rasponi received in the primary. And Landrieu ended up beating Terrell by 42,000 votes. Edwards ended up beating Rasponi by 40,000 votes. So John Bel Edwards was courted by the President of the United States, Ashley. He tried to get him to switch parties. He did so in front of 2 governors, said he would clear the field. Edwards said no, and Trump came after him strongly, made several appearances in Louisiana, and may have helped the cause for Eddie Rasponi to some degree, but it was not enough. How much of a factor was President Trump, if any?
I mean, I think I think that last visit, I think, really galvanized, the Black community around the idea that, you know, like, there's, you know, this figure at the national level that has, has been problematic in lots of ways to, you know, not only Black communities, but Latino communities as well. And I think that it had that opposite effect. It had the effect that, you know, folks were like, there's something really at stake here about the values of our state and the direction of our state, and we need to get out to vote.
Well, Governor John Bel Edwards now has the difficult job of governing, and the other night I said he was at the precipice of victory, and it is a precipice because there could be danger at the Capitol. The House only has 4 white Democrats remaining, and the Senate, I think, has 2 white Democrats, and when you look at the raw numbers, 27 of the 39 senators are Republican, 68 of the 105 House members are Republican. Not a supermajority in the House, but close to it. And Governor John Bel Edwards will have to work with those people, and of course they will have to work with him, or we will have a stalemate. And it is an interesting proposition for the governor as we move forward. He no longer has Bernie's client, John Ilerio, in the Senate to help him, who, of course, was a Republican, but after many years of being a Democrat, how much of a factor will the absence of Ilerio be?
Well, I think he would still help out, but you're talking about a much different Senate makeup. The Senate, the Louisiana majority, Republican majority organization, I mean, they did an incredible job of winning Senate seats. I mean, you have 27 Republicans in the Senate, and most of them are pretty much what they wanted to elect. There are not many rhinos left that Ilerio could work with.
877-217-5757. We'll go to the phone lines with Ashley Shelton of the Power Coalition and the Dean of Louisiana Pollsters, Bernie Pinsonat, after we return from this short pause. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Ashley Shelton of the Power Coalition and veteran pollster Bernie Pinsonat assessing the outcome of the 2019 governor's election. John Bel Edwards becomes the third straight Louisiana governor to serve two terms. He was the first governor to be forced into a runoff since Edwin Edwards in 1987, and Edwin at that time decided not to go to the post against Buddy Romer, and listeners have noted that Buddy Romer also was in a position where he was defeated, but he did not make the runoff. He was third in 1991. And in that year, Edwin Edwards received 1,053,000 votes against David Ernest Duke, and that's the most votes that any governor has ever received in an election in Louisiana. And the most since then came Saturday with John Bel Edwards getting 774,000 votes. And it's the closest Louisiana governor's election since the year of 1979 when David Treen beat Lewis Lambert by less than 10,000 votes. 877-217-5757 for Ashley Shelton and for Bernie Pinsonat. Jay in Mid-City. Jay, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Jay.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I like to say I'm an African-American. I'm an independent. And to me, it's just somewhat appalling that African-Americans continue to vote one way. We're the only group in this country that does that. And listen to the radio ads on black radio. Well, it's getting pamphlets in the mail. All they talk about was racism. Nothing addressed the black agenda, you know, funding HBCUs, having access to capital and business venture and coming to entrepreneurs. And just like the black politicians are just as guilty as the white politician with selling us this nonsense.
All right. Well, thank you, Jay. Ashley, would you respond?
Sure. I mean, I think that for those of us that were working on the ground, you know, you have to pick the candidate that's going to actually care about your issues and move that agenda. I mean, the work that we did and from the listening tours, I mean, it was an economic opportunity agenda around raising the minimum wage, ending preemption. It was looking at redistricting, which is a huge point of power for the black community in this state. I mean, we were looking at those hard issues, and we talked about them, you know, consistently. We did a candidate survey. We did the first progressive report card with Invest Louisiana. And part of it was not about, I mean, again, like, we're nonpartisan. This is about trying to put the issues at the forefront and to actually get candidates elected that are going to do the work of the people. And I think that, yeah, I mean, you know, they all have a party. But at the end of the day, this was truly about people thinking about who had their best interest at heart. And in the Deep South, we can't be one issue voters. We've got to be voters that are really committed to the bigger picture. And so I do, think we have some work to do. I mean, I think there was a lot of talk about funding for, you know, HBCUs in many of the conversations and meetings that I've been in around the state to try to hold some candidates accountable. There was discussion about DBE programs and other things. But again, the work has to get done. You know, the work will be done on this side.
And the governor has called for an increase in the minimum wage. He did that in his victory speech Saturday night. He's also called for equal pay legislation. Bernie Pinsonat, he couldn't get that done with the legislature less conservative than it will be. Does he have any shot of getting it done moving forward?
Well, I said on Channel 2 when they asked me about those issues, and I said his chances of passing either of those, whether you like it or not, are less than zero.
Well, you can't be less than zero.
Well, my point is...
You're a numbers guy. Zero is zero.
My point is it has absolutely no chance of happening.
No chance. That's what Bernie Pinsonat says. 877-217-5757 is your number. Sabash at the Country Club of Louisiana. Sabash, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Mr. Engster. Let me congratulate you and ourselves and all the sensible people in Louisiana who voted for the right candidate. And I also differ from Mr. Pollster.
Mr. Pollster.
Republicans in Louisiana are on notice if they don't support equal pay, minimum wage increase, and the other two items that the governor mentioned, then they will lose the Senate and the House in the next election.
Well, Sabash has a point that the overwhelming majority of people polled are in favor of an increase in the minimum wage, and in the great state of Arkansas, ruled by Republicans, including a Republican governor, they're raising it, to $12, I believe.
Yeah.
So, Bernie, this is a winner for the governor as far as the public is concerned. Why don't Republicans give him something rather than just being a roadblock to everything he proposes?
Well, he tried the last 4 years. Look, I'm not saying good or bad or indifferent. I'm saying I watched what happened. You couldn't get it out of
committee.
You couldn't get it out of committee. And the House is going to be so overwhelmingly Republican, it'll be, the chances are they won't. One of the discussions with me is, in looking at the national level, is the problem. I have a problem with minimum wage because you can't, if you go to $10 or $12, you still can't support a family with it. And one of the problems with me is, and I've always said, why do we have people on, if we have people on minimum wage more than 3 years, they need to be retrained and be able to make a decent living. Minimum wage isn't going to make anybody's life that much better who has a family.
877-217-5757, Noel at LSU. Noel, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I wanted to address a point made a little while ago where I think your female panelist, I apologize for not knowing your name.
Ashley Shelton.
Said that, Ashley, thanks. Ashley, you said something like, at the end of the day, people vote for the person who's in their best interest. I think that in this election, the black vote came out because of how devastating the alternative was, right? And so when black voters in Louisiana routinely pull the Democratic Party out of the fire, we really need to do some soul searching into how can we address that and honor that.
No, I completely agree. I mean, but it is still their best interest to not, you know, to not have had a candidate that was going to end Medicaid expansion, you know, and push, you know, folks further into poverty, you know, threaten schools, threaten teachers. You know, there were all these things that folks were really on the issue side that folks were really worried about. I do absolutely agree with you that, yes, there needs to be, you know, some real outcomes for the black community. Like, they didn't just turn out to elect a Democratic candidate. Like, they turned out because they want access to more health care. They want, I mean, 81%, the LSU survey that they do every year, statewide survey, 81% of the people of the state of Louisiana want to raise the minimum wage. And then almost 59% want to raise it to $15. So we know that these issues are issues that the people of this state care about. It's more about how are we going to get folks elected that are going to do the work of the people.
David in Atlanta. Hello, David. You're on Talk Louisiana with Bernie Pinsonat and Ashley Shelton. Hi, David.
This is Phil. Anyway,
okay.
Good morning.
Phil, I'll tell you what. We'll get to you, Phil. I'm sorry. I hit the wrong button. David, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning to everyone. Mr. Pinson, and I can tell you why you're wrong about the minimum wage. As a former AFL-CIO union shop steward for the largest steamship company in New Orleans, many in a negotiation that I helped negotiate ties our wages, union wages, to the minimum wage. For example, if the federal minimum wage is $7.25, I could easily argue for a wage for many of our workers for at least twice that. So as the minimum wage goes up, workers' wages for other workers on a higher scale goes up as well. And, you know, it's interesting that the Republicans are so opposed to equal pay for equal work. And Stephanie Grace wrote that many white women in Jefferson Parish voted for Edwards, given that these college-educated women understand that they're being exploited by not being paid equal pay for equal work, and the Republicans are their own worst enemy.
Now, how do you explain Jefferson Parish going so strongly? He won by 18,000 votes in Jefferson Parish, the governor did. That used to be a Republican bellwether. What's going on, Bernie?
Well, you know, bottom line is what happened to his Eddie Rasponi's campaign, though. You have...
Well, Edwards also beat Vitter in his home base of Jefferson 4 years ago.
Yeah, but
ago.
I think
it's
Vitter,
become a Democratic.
Vitter carried it slightly, didn't
no,
he?
No, Edwards beat Vitter in Jefferson four years ago.
But it was pretty much a tie.
Well, he won.
But, my no.
Against a guy from that area.
But the point, look, all I'm saying is, you mentioned minimum wage. If you ask the question that way, but if you ask the question related to small businesses, the numbers change dramatically.
877-217-5757. We'll pause for the news with Karen Henderson and return after this timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757. We're going to go to you in the order we receive your call, and we do have some folks lined up to talk about the governor's election. John Bel Edwards eking it out 51.3% to 48.7%, 774,469 to 734,128 for Eddie Lee Rasponi, a difference of just over 40,000 votes in an election, of course, that was considered to be a case in which Edwards was a slight favorite after getting 47% almost in the primary, but the President of the United States said it was a referendum on him, and he came to Louisiana, and he couldn't get Eddie Rasponi over the top. And I'm sure many Republicans who are vying to be governor are probably secretly happy that John Bel Edwards won. Jeff Landry is already running, probably. John Kennedy might be running. We've got Mike Strain, who is interested in the race. We have Billy Nungesser, who's interested in the race. We have Garrett Graves, who's taking a look at it. Mike Johnson, taking a look at it. And there is a report that Drew Brees may be interested in running as a Republican for governor of Louisiana in the year of 2023. So it should be interesting. John Bel Edwards, I know Melinda DeLott of the Associated Press is doing a story about John Bel Edwards associating with the likes of Coach O and Drew Brees. And I think Bernie Pinsonat, one of our guests, and Ashley Shelton, our other, would agree that having an association with the Saints and LSU is not a bad thing for the former quarterback from A. Meade High School. 877-217-5757. We'll get to Phil, but let's, I think Ken in White Oak was ahead of him. Ken at White Oak Landing, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jim. I was a Abraham voter in the primary. No Ralph, and knowing to be a fine fella. And was completely turned off by my fellow Republicans' efforts to get into the runoff, and as a result, voted for John Bell. I'd like to hear your guests comment as to their opinion with respect to what I call the Abraham effect and the eventual success of the governor.
That's a good question, Ken. Bernie?
I don't think it had that much impact. He got a decent – well, I could say if he lost 1 or 2%, it'd be – I don't know.
That could be the difference between winning and losing.
But, you know, to me, I heard people talk about that, and that comes from Ronald Reagan, but I got news for Republicans. The next race, the Republicans will tear into each other every day, all day. Donald Trump started out, what did he do? He destroyed all his Republican, the competition. He went through them like a blitzkrieg, destroying each one of them, attacking their character. So anyone who thinks Republicans should be nice to each other, I don't know what world they've been in for the last 4 years. That day is over. It's not going to happen. Republicans are so successful in Louisiana. Like you said, you're going to have six Republicans. You think those Republicans are not going to attack each other?
Well, and some of them don't like each other already.
Yeah.
I think you and I would agree that probably of the six, now if Breeze runs, I think he's the governor. But if he doesn't run, Jeff Landry is probably the one who's best situated,
yep,
to be the next governor of Louisiana. And he and Billy Nungesser do not like each other a lot. So this should be fun, because Billy Nungesser is a good retail politician, and he didn't want to endorse in this runoff. And And he, I think, brilliantly found a way to get out of it. He went on a trade mission to Germany, Bernie. So he was absent at the rallies. 877-217-5757. Now let's go to Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning. You're on with Ashley and Bernie. Good morning.
Good morning, Jim. I think the reason the governor won is because we're better off now than we were 4 years ago. I'd be curious to how much money was spent on these elections from outside the state and PAC money. And you already answered my other question. You're going to be play partisan Washington-style politics in the legislature like you're doing in Washington. Thanks for the obstruction.
Ashley, thank you, Phil.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that, you know, the money was ridiculous. I mean, even the day before, I think it was Thursday of last week, we saw $1 million more come in on the Republican side because they were, you know, they were just worried about what the numbers look like. And so there was enormous amounts of money being spent, you know, on both sides. But I think that for little guys like us, you know, like we really tried to focus in on, you know, the issues and actually talking to people on the ground, because here's what we know. Campaigns always focus on chronic voters. They don't focus on infrequent voters. One, sometimes they don't have the money, but two, also, you know, there's no energy or effort that's necessary. And so we did a lot of work getting infrequent voters to the polls. And I think that also speaks to what's going to happen in the next governor's race, too, is that, you know, like all of these candidates are going to have to do a little bit more work to meet people where they are instead of just assuming they can walk into office, you know, because they're, you know.
With television ads.
Right. No, for sure. For sure. And so I do think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting after this, you know, the next statewide election cycle to kind of see how those black voters are going to, you know, fight for the things that they want and that they know that they have a voice and an opportunity and they're going to continue to fight for those things.
The governor's race generated somewhere around $80 million
total. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
At least.
But in 79, 40 years ago, when I was a student at LSU and covered my first Louisiana governor's election, that was the most expensive non-presidential election in the history of the country. And we had viable candidates, not only Lewis Lambert and David Treen, but Jimmy Fitzmaurice and Paul Hardy and Bubba Henry and Sonny Mutaw. And they went after it, and that one was even closer. 9,557 votes separated Treen and Lambert.
And Johnston was the lowest.
Johnston?
4,800.
Well, that was in a primary, though. That was that was a Democratic primary.
Yeah, yeah. But
it was not a runoff.
No, the runoff was between.
It was a runoff of the Democratic primary, but
that's
then,
right. They did have the Treen.
It was not a general election.
Oh, I forgot.
But it was 4,488 votes. You're right. Edwin Edwards over your man J. Bennett Johnston. Paul in Opelousas. Paul, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning. Just wanted to.
All right, Paul. You're coming in very faintly. We're going to try to get you to a better spot. And while we do that, let's go to Sophie in Mid City. Sophie, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Sophie.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I want to talk about my frustration about the phone calls to my home phone, text to my cell phone, and phone calls to my cell phone. I felt it was harassment. I don't care who it was telling me to vote. It was harassment. There were 5 a day on my home phone, several on my cell phone. I did not like it, and I want to be able to opt out of it. There ought to be a way to do that. My other comment is I want to talk about John Bel Edwards and my frustration with the Republican legislature in Louisiana because he was left with this $2 billion deficit from Jindal, and it took 5 special sessions for that Republican legislature to finally decide to fill the gap. And when they decided to do it, despite the study that had been done about the needed changes to our income tax system, they chose to do it in the most offensive way with a tax, mm-hmm. a sales tax.
All right. And Mark Ballard, who visits with us on Thursday, notes that 18 of the 39 state senators will be first termers and 46 House members will be newcomers. So we're going to have a new-look legislature, and some of these people are just feeling their way. And we saw what happened when you had a new-look legislature in 2008 and a rookie governor, and the Stelly Plan went away. And it probably would not have happened, but Bobby Jindal let it get to his desk. And once it got to his desk, Bernie, he could not veto a tax cut. So it put him in a bad spot, though. Are we going to have something like this in the offing now, or is John Bel Edwards seasoned enough to make sure it doesn't happen?
Well, we have we had a $350 million surplus. There are some legislators who are talking about we need to give that back. We did raise, one of the things that happens with poor people is we have the high sales tax in the nation. The poor did get hammered with that tax. Mm-hmm. Do you give it back? Do you start giving it back because we have a surplus now? The Republicans will most likely want to give it back. I bet the Democrats won't vote to give it back.
Well,
but they want it for state services, mm-hmm. and that's the clash between Republicans and Democrats. I'm not saying who's right or wrong.
But when you have a $30 billion budget and you have a $500 million surplus, we're talking about less than 2% of the overall budget. That is involved here.
Well, so. I'm not saying they're right or wrong. I'm saying that money is
that's
there.
That's the case that will be made. You're
and
right. You're
the
right
case
about
will
that.
Be made. Let's give it back.
Yeah, and Ashley, this governor, I'm surprised he didn't make the case more when Trump was in here campaigning, and that the president has had a budget plan that has caused a $1 trillion annual deficit, and. This governor has a surplus, so the last thing John Bel Edwards he needs a hole in his head is a deficit. So what can he do to stop tax cuts and things like that that might cause red ink?
You know, one of the things that because we do have so many new legislators coming in, one of our partners is the Louisiana Budget Project, led by Jan Moeller, and so in partnership with Invest Louisiana, which includes United Way, run by Charmaine Cassiope. And and Jan and Power Coalition and many other partners, we want to do an in-service and kind of talk about talk about the budget, talk about some of these key issues, talk about how and what kinds of policies disproportionately affect the poor, like the high sales tax, and really think about what are some of those solutions. And really, we I always say, we think that, folks win an election and they automatically know everything about every policy. And the reality is that they won the popularity contest. And now we've got to do the work of educating them about what policies make sense in our state and how are they actually going to represent the people and do the work they elected them to do.
877-217-5757, another segment for Talk Louisiana. We'll hear from the candidates from Saturday night as well, John Bel Edwards and Eddie Rasponi, and we'll go back to the phone lines after this brief timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757 for Ashley Shelton, Power Coalition. They knocked on 298,000 doors prior to the runoff, and John Bel Edwards, of course, got a huge turnout from African-American voters. And when I say that, African-American voters make up 31% of the electorate in Louisiana, and that's about what turned out Saturday. So it still was equal to the white vote, but pretty close. And usually African-American turnout is lower than proportionately than white votes. And John Bel Edwards, he had a cushion. He won by 40,000 votes, but 40,000 votes makes up only a couple of percent of the electorate between him and Eddie Rasponi, 2.6% to be exact, between the two candidates. Dan downtown, you're on with Bernie Pinsonat and Ashley Shelton. Hello, Dan.
Hi. Regarding the minimum wage, are the Republican legislators so beholden to their corporate employer donors that they want their employee constituents to qualify for food stamps, even though they have two or three jobs?
Bernie, this is a case I'm sure that many people will make.
First of all, big corporations, you're really not talking about big corporations. Big corporations generally pay higher than minimum wage. We're talking about small businesses. You're talking about grocery stores. You're talking about drug stores. And where a lot of the poorer people work. So it does impact them. I'm just saying that whether you're for it or against it, there are businesses that would be dramatically affected, and they're small businesses. And guess what? It's not Exxon. Exxon's not paying below minimum wage.
Mark in Lafayette. Hi, Mark. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi, I was calling to just get the opinion of the panelists as to whether or not they felt that the debate had any significant impact on voter turnout or just perceptions of both candidates.
There was only one debate, and it was on LPB, and the candidates went at it rather feisty between Edwards and Rasponi. Ashley, your thoughts?
I mean, I think it definitely had an impact. I mean, I think you look at Orleans and the, and the much stronger turnout and the runoff. I mean, you know, when you make comments like, you know, as soon as I take my hand off the Bible, I'm going to deal with New Orleans or whatever, you know, look, whatever some of those comments were.
Bernie, you're smiling, but you believe, and of course, in retrospect, I think many believe now, that Eddie Rasponi should have been involved more in more debates, more appearances, that just running a television campaign on television is not going to cut it. It almost did, but would he have done better had he been out there more?
Well, I think he would have been. John Bell pointed out election night that he went across the state and went to small communities and let them know who he was and what he stood for. He was like the Energizer Bunny. People could talk to him and see him in person. And Eddie just never got across the state, never had a viable campaign in communities.
Well, the governor also does a monthly radio show right here. And in fact, he'll be here Wednesday at 2 p.m. And Eddie Rasponi was offered that opportunity and opted not to. And I think we know why. The one radio appearance he made was with my friend Jim Leggett and Alexandria, and he put his foot in his mouth saying the governor had disappointed West Point.
Well, John Bell Edwards understood the importance of retail politics, you know, and that's it. When we say that term, that's local level, that's the mm-hmm. average person reaching them. And right. You can't do that on television, just television.
Jim on Airline. Hi, Jim. You're on Talk Louisiana. Jim, good morning to you. Can you hear me, Jim? Apparently not. So let's see if we can get back to him. Bill Huey writes, Ashley, please ask Bernie and Ashley how many of the people who voted for Edwards were avocado toast and goat's milk latte people.
You know, unfortunately, we can't target that way. I don't know. But
that's just it, is that Edwards is not a quiche-eating liberal. He's a hunter. He's an outdoorsman. He can throw a football with a tight spiral. All of this, I'm sure, helped him in a state like Louisiana.
No, it didn't allow – he never allowed himself to be tied to Washington. He never allowed himself to be labeled a liberal – The Pelosi Schumer thing, you couldn't make it stick with him, and that was a huge advantage for him to be able to get five or six of the white. Look, he lost 2/3 of the white vote.
He did, but Mary Landrieu lost 80% of it.
In
2014.
Well, the difference is, and here's a lesson for the Republicans: when you're looking at Washington from rural Louisiana, is very Trump, but it's social. Rural Louisiana has a lot of employment that's tied to government. They work at hospitals, they work at police juries, they work for the sheriff, they work for the DA. So it's about their families and God and Christianity and all the traditions. They're anti-Washington, but when you're the state government, the governor of Louisiana is responsible for your well-being in a lot of ways that we're not related to in D.C., and I'm talking about whites primarily.
Ashley.
Well, and I think another thing, too, is that, no one wants to talk about the fact that we're one of the poorest states in the country. So I promise you they're not a ton of avocado toast and goat's milk folk. It's folks, you know, that voted. Like, these were folks that really were voting for an opportunity for greater economic access and to able to get, access to jobs. And I just wanted to say, too, that, we're talking about McDonald's and Dollar General. I mean, there are a lot of private employers and small businesses that do pay higher than a minimum wage. It's actually these larger chains that are making huge, you know, huge profits that are taking advantage of folks. And we've been fighting for 15 an hour and other things. But I do think that these voters were fighting for health care and better economic opportunity.
Jim on airline, let's give you another shot, Jim. Good morning to you.
Good morning. There, I got the big whack that said I was online this time. A couple of quick disparate points. The first one is that online in message board replies and things, the conservative white vote is very upset that African Americans got out and voted, and they seem to think that that was somehow unfair and possibly illegal, which was really silly. And then the other thing is, as you were just pointing out, that it is Walmart, it is McDonald's, it is all of the very big, very, very wealthy corporations who are not paying their employees anything close to a living wage.
Ashley?
McDonald's?
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, no, they do not pay a living wage, and I mean, and there are a few chains, right? Like there where they've been able to negotiate some things, but for the most part, there isn't a living wage that folks can find, and I do think that it was so scary on election day, some of my white progressive friends were receiving text messages saying they're loading buses, to elect XYZ candidate, get out to vote to ensure XYZ is secure. And so there was this kind of fear-mongering that was going on around what it meant to actually turn out the black vote. I mean, we've got one of the we haven't had a lot of voter suppression in Louisiana because the vote is so low, and not just for blacks, for whites as well. And so at the end of the day, the idea that folks were actually engaging, that they were actually, we've been doing this work for 5 years. I mean, I've been consistently talking to infrequent voters of color across the state and moving them to consistent voters. And so this idea that, like, that there's something wrong with more African Americans engaging in politics is crazy, or that it's scary is problematic.
Here's a good question from Marcia in Baton Rouge. What will the effect of Edwards' reelection have on redistricting? Like, for example, in East Baton Rouge Parish, we have enough people in Baton Rouge and the surrounding area to have a congressional seat of our own, which would almost certainly be held by a Democrat. But people who draw these lines protect the holder of the 6th District, which in this case is Garrett Graves, by putting North Baton Rouge in Cedric Richmond's district. Now, Cedric Richmond would still represent us in Congress, but he gets North Baton Rouge to keep Garrett Graves in Congress. Bernie Pinsonat, will this change under the new leadership?
It depends on the argument. What had a bigger impact to me, and I watched it, and I was involved in it, it was all about giving North Louisiana 2 congressmen instead of 1. That had a huge impact.
But we had Abraham and Johnson. Don't they have 2 congressmen?
They
have districts that are crazy. I agree with that.
Look,
but there's still 2 congressmen from North Louisiana.
I know, but you're going from Bogalusa to Monroe?
Okay.
Give me a break.
Well, Ashley, should Democrats put their foot down, and in this case it would have to be the Black Caucus, and say, look, we should have districts drawn that would ensure 2 Democratic congressmen from Louisiana or congresswomen?
Well, I mean, I think that that's absolutely one of the driving forces, too, for folks getting involved in voting in this election, was that they knew that redistricting is a huge point of power, and it's typically how our voices are, kind of moved out of the conversation. And so I think we absolutely can demand another seat, and there have been several lawsuits as well around.
Well, let's go to Saturday night. Here's how it sounded.
We're going to improve the health outcomes of Louisianans, and we're going to continue advancing major infrastructure projects. And we will continue to fight for an increase in the minimum wage, because $7.25 is not a meaningful minimum wage.
Mr. Respondent, what's the legacy of your campaign now?
Legacy?
What's the legacy of this campaign? What do you
think? 700,000 people wanted something. Move this state forward, so that's what it's about.
You ever interested in running again?
No. I gave it everything I had. I tried to answer God's instructions, and I did. I worked very hard at it.
Well, we thank Ashley Shelton and Bernie Pinsonat for joining us, and you for listening. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Back tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Stay tuned.